Worship is not an option to us. It is a divinely conferred obligation. God commands, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What is worship? Dwight Bradley wrote, "Worship is a thirsty land crying out for rain. It is a candle in the act of being kindled. It is a drop in the quest of an ocean. It is a voice in the night calling for help. It is a soul standing in awe before the mystery of the universe. It is time flowing into eternity. It is a man climbing the altar stairs to God." Someone has called man the animal that worships, and it is worship that separates man from the birds of the air and the beast of the field. Man is essentially a religious being. His heart instinctively seeks for God. If he does not meet the true God, then he makes his own gods by worshiping objects of nature. Thomas Carlyle said, "The man who does not habitually worship is but a pair of spectacles behind which there is no eyes." The greatest calamity that can fall upon a nation is not financial bankruptcy or foreign invasion, but the loss of worship. A person who is capable of knowing God personally, to fail to enter into his presence, misses the joy which floods the soul and bathes the whole inner spirit with refreshing. Worship is more than just showing honor. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "If Socrates would enter the room, we should rise and honor him. But if Jesus Christ came into the room, we should fall down on our knees and worship him." And to that I say a hearty amen. We should worship God because anything less than worship is a sin. The problems of the human race would be solved if men would but worship him. Romans chapter 3 discusses the wretched condition of mankind. It pictures every person as a sinner before God. It reveals that the whole of our being, mind, emotion, will, action, words, all are involved in sinful rebellion against God. The passage concludes with this explanation: there is no fear of God before their eyes. The lack of reverence for God rings the death knell to worship. Worship declares he is worthy. To fail to worship is to indicate he is not worthy. Therefore, any attitude of the human spirit which is not worshipful is sin. God deserves, desires, and demands our worship. He loves us beyond our widest comprehension. And because he loves us, he desires fellowship with us. His desire is not the expression of a self-centered person who wants to be honored. God knows the best thing that can happen to us is what happens during and as a consequence of worship. And so he desires and demands our worship because he wants us to receive the best he has available to his dear children. So we say with the psalmist, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Now notice the personal pronouns in that text. He is our God. We are his people. That is shouting ground. Think of what it means that the sovereign ruler of the universe would choose to enter a family relationship with his creatures. Look at your reflection in a mirror and say with an earnest heart, "I am the object of God's love, the beneficiary of Christ's redemption, the temple of the Holy Spirit's residence. I am God's child, and God is my Father." And then fall upon your knees before him and testify, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." I remember well the first visit I made to the Orient. For the first time in my life, I saw people bowing down to idol gods made with human hands. My missionary host and I were walking through the precincts of a temple in Taipei, Taiwan, and saw two artisans carving blocks of wood which would become gods. I wanted to cry out with the Apostle Paul, "Sirs, why do you do these things? Turn from these vanities to the living God." I watched the people as they came and went through their rituals of worship. There was no joy, no victory, no sense of help, as if they had truly met God. And that is why Christian missionary work is so essential. To know the living and true God is to have eternal life. We find great pleasure in the worship of God. Here is rest for the restless spirit. When a person truly worships, he can testify, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee, thy right hand upholds me." Many times I have experienced the refreshing that comes in the worship of God. The psalmist wrote, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Yes, wait patiently for God to speak to you as you sing, pray, give your offerings, and receive the message in a worship service. You will find your spirit renewed and your body refreshed. You will go away feeling better than when you arrived. These are the benefits of meeting with God. Do you have a problem listening to a sermon all the way through? Does it seem the theme the preacher is pursuing is not designed for you? Consider this counsel by Henry Bosch. He said, "At some time in every sermon, God breaks through the words of His servant and speaks directly to each of us. It may be in a single phrase or in just one sentence, but we can well afford to listen to the entire discourse with care, lest we miss that brief, illuminating portion in which God seeks to contact us, a sentence that brings conviction, penitence, hope, strength, comfort, or renewed faith in our hearts. From now on, pay attention to your pastor's preaching. Don't lose out on the part of the message the Lord wants to speak to apply to your heart. To meet God personally in true worship is to be changed, to never be the same again the rest of your life. When Moses was 80 years old, God met him before a bush that burned with fire but was not consumed, and Moses was never the same after that meeting with God. A few years later, he met God again on Mount Sinai and was changed even more than at the first. Moses came down from Mount Sinai with his own face shining with the reflected glory of God. He removed the veil when he went in to speak with the Lord and replaced it when he came out to speak with the people. How long has it been since you met God in such intimacy that your own face reflected the fact of that meeting? The worship of God is more than a rule of spiritual safety. It is an adventure of the Spirit. The order of worship is natural. First, we listen to God to speak through His Word. Then we give ourselves to Him and He gives Himself to us in the fellowship of prayer, confession, and commitment of life. Worship is not an option to us. It is a divinely conferred obligation. God commands, "Thou shalt worship the Lord, and Him only shalt thou serve." The "thou shalt" is a command from the Lord Jesus, and it places worship as a sacred duty upon each of us. To fail to worship is to disobey God and is a sin to be confessed before Him. Life need not be dull and discouraging. You can know the joy of the Lord in the midst of your daily affairs if you will learn to worship God. Former President Calvin Coolidge made this statement, "It is only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow." You practice public and private worship and you'll experience growth to your great joy, for your motive in worship is to honor God that you may grow and honor God the more. Father, we confess that we are but children in understanding all that is involved in worship. We do not know, but we are willing to be taught. And so we're available to your Holy Spirit that He might lead us into the full experience of worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.